void. And I want to pray for that kind of conviction this year, that we would fall in love with you through your word, Lord, and for what you say, what you speak of us. And I ask, God, that you'd bless this New Year's message this morning. And I ask, God, that Lord, that you would use me and this on this platform today. That, Lord, that I'd say nothing foolish, Lord, nothing heretical. I just ask, God, that you'd share, I'd be able to share what you put on my heart for this year. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to just say this. New Year's happens once a year. Is that right? New Year's happens once a year. But new life happens every day. Every day. I know that somehow we are infatuated with the new love and for the new year, right? I mean, we love the new year. We love to think about it coming up because it's a time to start over, to forget behind and to look forward to what lies ahead. But I want to just tell you, every new year is like a new unused car, okay? This brand new car you buy, and then it's brand new, and you're all excited about it. That one day, that new car, will one day end up on the heap, right? It loses its newness quick. The new smell is gone before long. It's just something that just happens in all of life because all the things in this world, the Bible says, is growing dimmer and dimmer. It's all fading away. That's what the temporal things do. So New Year's like this unused car. I mean, you know, it loses this new smell. It starts to stink sometimes. It doesn't remain new long. And I want to tell you another thing that happens. You buy a new car, and before you get the tags, you've already dinged it, right? There's always a break. You break that thing in, and you break it in usually before the tags, before the license plates come. You hit a pole, or you back out on somebody, or somebody gets you. It happens all the time. It's happened to me with every new car that I've ever had. The new in this life doesn't stay new long. It can be the outfit, it can be your kid's new toy, the newest Game Boy, the newest Xbox, the new thing in fashion, the fresh hair, the fresh cut, the fresh color. It doesn't stay fresh. You know, coffee doesn't stay hot. Malts don't stay cold, right? I mean, you can just go through it. I mean, it just fades away. It never stays new. Houses deteriorate. Before long, it's time to upgrade because it's outdated. And then the new house one day becomes a fixer-upper. And that's what it's like with New Year's. And then, you know, then there's this thing that we're infatuated called New Year's resolutions and New Year's goals, right? Well, I'm just going to tell you this. The Babylonians did this 1,000 years before Christ. New Year's goals, New Year's resolutions, right? Ashlyn, do you have a picture? Did you get that picture of my three-year-old? Okay, that's Fritch up there. And Ashlyn asked him, hey, what's your New Year's goal? And his New Year's goal is to learn to play the tuba so he can blow us all away. Right? Fritch and a tuba. We have these resolutions. We have these grand plans until we start, right? And then we start, and we start to eat healthy and try to exercise. We join the gym. We hire a personal trainer. We buy a treadmill. Yeah, or we buy a bike that goes nowhere. You know what I'm talking about. It goes nowhere, right? And before long, you've got things hanging on the treadmill, right? It's not being used. Why? Because it's not new anymore. We think about the best diets on the internet, that the intermittent fasting diet, the Dr. Sebi, if I'm saying that right, and the alkaline eating plan, or the Noom diet, right? Or here's one, 1,200 calorie diet. Can you imagine that one, 1,200 calories? Do you know that a Big Mac, large fries, and a large Coke, is 1,120 calories, okay? And it takes you nearly 3 hours of biking or 2 hours of running or 7 hours of house cleaning to burn it off. Right. I can't imagine a 1,200 calorie diet. And then there's the Go-Lo diet, the Mediterranean diet, the Weight Watchers diet. And I want to tell you, I was on that. I watched my weight go up all year long. Right? It's like my dad was a health nut. I mean, my dad was a professional fighter. He always kept in shape. And one day I said to my dad, I said, "Dad, I'm going to go get in shape. I'm going to get great." He said, "Well, round's a shape, right?" Yeah, round's a shape. Yeah. I mean, these things we do, these things that we move through. And, you know, I think about the supplements and the exercise and the things that promote high metabolism and the things that we don't eat anymore. I just want to tell you, I just call it flesh torture because that's what it is. And I just think this. I think about New Year and I think about New Year's resolution and how the honeymoon of the New Year gets over really, really quick. Am I right? Oh, over really, really, really quick. I think about last time this year, we were talking about 2020 what? 2020 vision. Remember? And all the things. I started a series, it's Ask Big in 2020. I want to tell you this. Last year, every now and then I get this idea that that God is somehow asking me, "Hey, Mike, what do you want me to do for you this year?" And I just said, "Surprise me." And I want to tell you, surprise. Right? I mean, the only thing about 2020 vision, it's hindsight. 2020 hindsight. The new year passes and somehow it loses its newness and freshness, sometimes almost immediately, sometimes the next week. I mean, when you think about resolutions, studies say, the data says that 80% of people who make resolutions or don't even think about them in February. 80%. And I think this question, and I look at my life, and I think about this one statement that I want to make with you. Usually, probably 99% of the time, New Year's resolutions do not work. Do they? Have they? They don't. I'm not saying don't. Don't evaluate. I'm not saying asking God to do the great things, but usually they don't work. And I began this week asking the question, why is that? Why does it not work? Because I want to tell you first, there's no power in resolutions. They're just goals. And a goal can't make you do anything. It can't empower you to do anything. It's like the law that of Moses in the Old Testament. The law is it can't make you holy. The law can't empower you to keep it. The Bible says that the law is weak, right? It is weak. And this is what he says in Romans 8:33. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh. Only God can do that. Only God can. Resolutions are like the law. They're not powerful. They can't make you do anything. They can't empower you to do one thing. I kind of shared that a little bit at Caden's baptism. I can make confession and get saved and really get saved and promise God to walk with him all the days of my life. And if you were baptized here in the last 20 years, you made that statement that I will walk with you all the days of my life. It is like a wedding vow. Wedding vows are wonderful, don't get me wrong. But let me tell you, wedding vows will not empower you to keep those wedding vows. It is only by the power of God in how we live and choose to live day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, following Christ or giving to our spouses. The power is found in living it out, not just saying it. And we all know that. We all understand that. New Year's resolutions often don't work because there's no power in resolutions. Second, most of our resolutions are self-directed and they're not God-directed. They're for our pleasure and not God's glory. This is a really important piece. They're often self-directed, not God-directed. Centered on the flesh, the temporal, revolving around me, what I want to weigh, what I want to look like, how I want to eat right, how I want to exercise more, how I want to swear less, be more patient, how I don't want to do sugar. Well, good luck with that one. how I want to accomplish something, and how I can post my picture of the new me, post the picture of my organized pantry or my closet, or me flexing and doing duck lips. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Oftentimes, they're self-directed, and they're not God-directed. It's based upon what I want, not what God wants. And that's why we're always finding ourselves wanting really quick, because our eyes are on the things that never stay new. We get our eyes off the natural, the temporal, and put it on the supernatural, the eternal. And then we want to ask the question, am I going to live for the glory of self, or am I going to live for the glory of Almighty God? You know, I think this is how we go through trials and temptations and hardships. We look at the temporal and how the temporal doesn't change when we think it ought to change. And then we get frustrated. And then we get mad. Or then we get angry because it didn't go my way. And it's the same thing. It's the same principle. I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Do you have that on the screen? He says, look, I want to look to the eternal, not to the temporal. Okay. And he says this in a really powerful way. He says, are you going to get that up there? Yeah, good. Therefore, we don't lose heart, but though our outer man, who's our outer man? Our outer man, what? It's the thing that's fading away. Now listen to me, I want to tell you this. Hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm going to show you this in a minute with having a healthy diet. I mean, matter of fact, we all need to be doing that, especially in these days, right? But though we don't lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. By the way, the inner man's the new nature. It's the new nature, not the old nature. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Watch, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are not temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Do you see the priority here? Do you see why oftentimes goals and personal things that we don't make them, I have some people, they go, I'm going to just crush my goals. Let me show you how to crush your goals. Have you ever heard that? I mean, I hear it. And the thing is that when I look at that, I think it's just me crushing. I'm going to do this. I am. Don't get me wrong. There is something totally right about making a life change and saying, God, in the name of Jesus, I will no longer walk that way, but I'll walk by your power and your grace in this way. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is personal responsibility in all that we do, in all that we move toward. So we don't look at the eternal, we don't look at the temporal, we look at the eternal. So there's no power in resolutions like the law. And most of our resolutions are self-directed and not God-directed, but there's a third reason. Our resolutions are often based on preference and not conviction. If I just have a preference to lose weight, I might go good, I might go really well for 6 months and make the goal, but man, that back in 2019, right? And then through 2020, I'm just going to tell you, I've gained 15 pounds. Maybe 12. But I'm a pastor, and so I'm going to round it up for you, okay? And you know, I think about God, why? Why? Because it's based on a preference, not a conviction. And maybe we need to see our lack and where we fall is an old nature problem, and it is a sin problem. And it may be instead of just a preference that I want to do these things, I have a conviction of my soul that it's gluttony. Uh-oh. Gluttony. God calls it gluttony. Or to say to this thing, I'm gonna do better on not swearing. Well, let me tell you something about swearing or the things that come out of your mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth has been in your heart, and it needs a heart change. That's why the Bible says you can't tame the tongue, okay? You can't do it, because out of you will come both bitterness and come out fresh stuff. And so it's a heart issue, these things. And I know the weight thing is probably the biggest thing that we deal with, and eating healthy and exercise, and that's good. I got a couple of passages of scripture for us on that. But what about the other things? The sinful habits, the clicking of pornography, the impatience or the anger issues of my life. To say I'm going to be a better person, I'm going to tell you something. You can't be a better person unless apart from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Because the Bible says there's none good, no one, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. And I mean, we can do all we can to compare ourselves with ourselves, but when you begin to do that, you'll start feeling really good about yourself, because you can always find somebody else a little heavier than you, or a little bit worse than you, or has a little bit more addiction than you do, and feel good about yourself, when that's the wrong standard. It's got to be based on conviction. And by the way, this is not about a weight loss sermon. To me, weight loss is the metaphor of everything else in our lives. That's what I think. It's the metaphor of everything else in our lives. I mean, think about that. The undiscipline, the laziness, those kinds of things that can only be dealt with by God, that reaches our heart. That we make decisions of the heart by the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Yeah, our resolutions and our commitments are often based on preference and not conviction. And maybe we need to do like the Apostle Paul says, that as you've received the Lord Jesus, so walk in him. How did you receive him? Yes, with great faith, but also with the repentance of a change of mind, where as a result of the power of the Spirit, your behavior changed. And it's just the simplicity of the gospel in the good news. And you know what? I'm just going to tell you, I love resolutions. I do. I don't do them on January 1st. I do it on October 21st, which is my birthday. I mean, I want to be bold. I want to see God do something in my life. I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy in my 60s and 70s and hopefully 80s and 90s. But the way I'm going right now, physically, will not. And so I want to ask God to come and say, God, what is at the very soul of this? What is the very root of this? Because my weight is just a metaphor of maybe something different. You know, I think about for health and weight or anything else. Start with this. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You have been bought with the price. Watch this. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Isn't that a great one? You talk about a verse for 2021. I've been bought with the price by the precious blood of the Lamb. Therefore, I want to glorify God in my body, with my hands and my feet and my mouth and my eyes and my ears. That I want to run with God and walk with God, and I want to touch people and bless people, to glorify God in your body. Or a second passage is whether then you eat or drink, watch, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. And I want to tell you, there's many times that I've slipped from the table and I thought, well, maybe I didn't think it at that time. But as I look back, could I really say, I did that for the glory of God? I want to do that for the glory of God. I want to live for the glory of God. I want to live so that he's glorified and honored in my life. I think there's a fourth reason why, and this is where we're going to camp out today and next week. Fourth reason why is because we miss the true nature and the meaning of the newness of life. I have to say it again. New Year's happens once a year. New life in Christ happens every day. So I love about our great God. In our passage, it says in verse 14, the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that all one died for all, therefore we've all died. And he who dies, he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves.
So we don't live a self-directed life. We don't live for ourselves. Do you know this? If you and I could have this powerful ability, which I believe we have, to go the rest of our lives to be God-directed, not self-directed, do you know there'd be no offense? You wouldn't take offense to anything. You wouldn't get your feelings hurt. You wouldn't walk in anger. You wouldn't walk in unforgiveness. I mean, if you think about that in those kinds of terms, a self-directed life or a God-directed, if I live in a God-directed life, this power of God is available to me every day. And I want to tell you, in Christ, all things are always new. Why? Because we are dying daily and we're living the resurrected life on a daily basis, where I die to self and I live to God. Or I die to self and I live to God, and then I live to you through God. And listen, if we can apply this to every principle, everything in our lives, if we could apply it to our marriage right now, right here, to say, I'm dying to myself and I'm living for you through God. Wouldn't that be a great commitment? Well, listen, you don't have to wait till next year to have a resolution to do that, because my Bible says in the next passages of Scripture, notice what it says. It says this, therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. The old things, they're done with. They've passed away. They're final. They're done away with. But behold, new things have come. And I'm going to tell you, this is what it says in the Greek. It's in a perfect tense. And you know, I don't like to throw around Greek all the time, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to throw it around right now. New things have come. Watch this. They came, they are coming, and they will always be coming to the believer in Christ. New things. New things. And you know, here's the great thing about our great God, that it's not just every day it's new, every moment it's new. I don't have to wait till morning to start over. I don't. Matter of fact, I like the Old Testament Judaic thought of a day. It starts in the evening. It starts in the evening. Listen to me. I want you to remember this 3 weeks from now, 8 weeks from now, that God comes to do a transformative work. And he's always said that if you're in Jesus, if you've received Christ into your life, if you have confessed him as your Lord, if you have received the salvation of God through simple faith in him of what he did 2,000 years ago, if you have him in your heart, you are in Christ and he is in you, and you are a new creation right now, right here. Whether you did it at 8 or whether you did it at 10 or whether you did it at 25, you're new today. You're new today. This is the promise of God. Do I say this to say this in a way that says this is easy? No, I'm not saying this is easy. We're in a war. We're still in a war with the enemy. The enemy doesn't like this, what I'm preaching today. Doesn't like anything about what we're saying today. That you don't have to live another day in guilt or shame or any of those other things for what you did, listen to me, yesterday. Because every day is a new day in Christ. Every moment is new. As I hear my great God and I respond to him and I believe in him and I believe what he's saying to me. This is where the power comes through, folks. It doesn't come by doing it. It comes by believing it to do it. Amen. Right? Will I be convicted, have a conviction that's deep enough that I'm going to believe what Pastor's saying to us today and what God is saying through his word, that I have an opportunity to walk in newness of life today when July 1st is today? And I don't have to wait 7 months. Did I say it right? I think that's right. To January 1st. That's why I think that New Year's resolutions and goals and all those things, so I just call it infatuation with it. We're infatuated with it. Most of the times we're not truly committed to them. You understand that, right? In a relationship,
you have a honeymoon kind of thing when you're dating. You're infatuated. That's what it is, and that's a good thing. That's what it's a good thing. It's called limerence. Look it up. It's an awesome thing, but it's not true love. True love is when you're on the edges of infatuation and the honeymoon is over, and now you got to start working on things by the power of God. And listen, we see that in our walk with God, in our newness of God. Why? Because God doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants to move you on. I thought about this all my life since I was 17 years old and started ministry. And I hear people say, oh, I wish it was like what I was when I was 8, when I just first received Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, I don't want to go back to 8, do you? Or when I was 25 and I was so excited and I lived for God for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, and somehow I lost it. Listen, I want to be infatuated with God. I do. I want to be infatuated with the kingdom of God. But I want to go deeper than that. Because there's days that we don't feel infatuated. There are days that we don't feel like God loves us. We don't feel that we love God. Come on, let's just be honest with this. But you hear what I'm saying, right? I'm using the word feel. And you all know that I'm a feely, touchy guy. I am. But it's not about your feeling. It's about what God says about you. And my great God says you're a new creation. That's who you are. And new creation means right now, right here. Now, I want to pray right now. We're not finished, okay? But I want to pray right now. I want you to bow with me in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to do something with me. It may be just a little uncomfortable for some of you, but I'm just going to just ask you to do this. You may not mean it. I might be saying the words for you, but I just want to tell you, it might be a powerful exercise. So I want you just to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim that my new nature is new today. It is new this moment. And it'll be new this afternoon. And it'll be new tomorrow. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away. And the new things have come and are coming and will continue to come. I'm a new man, a new woman, a new boy. You got a boy, a new girl. In Christ Jesus, I believe this, and I'll walk in agreement with what you say about me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, we need to be praying prayers like this. Listen, they are prayers of authority. They are prayers of decision. They are prayers that say, we will not walk in agreement with the old. And when I see the old coming out of my life, I want to put it to death immediately. Because I know when I walk in the old, in a pattern or a habit, it doesn't do anybody any good, especially me. And matter of fact, one day it defiles everything around me, and one day I might lose everything that's been precious to me because I didn't walk in agreement with what God said about me. There's power in this, men. Power in this, ladies. Power in this, sons and daughters. There's power in this word of God as it reaches my soul by the power of the Spirit. Now, let me just tell you what you just prayed. If you really know and you really believe that you're a new creation, that's who I am. You have a new nature, and I've said it already, you're free of guilt and you're free of shame. Your sins have been taken away. 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. I love this because when Jesus came the first time, he took away the penalty of sin. And then when he came into your life the second time, when he appeared, which is the second time for you, or maybe the first time for you, he came and took away the power of sin. And he took away, and actually you began to live a life free of the penalty of sin. And one day he's going to return, and guess what? There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more darkness. There'll no longer be uncertainty. There'll no longer be pits of destruction. There'll be no longer any of those things. Today, though, in a fallen world and a fallen nature, we get to walk in the power of this great God. Would you believe it today? Would God somehow birth within you a faith to believe what we're saying today? Because I want to tell you, when you do, it'll change everything. It'll change every single thing. So you have this new nature. You're free of guilt and shame. Your sins have been taken away. You're pardoned and redeemed and forgiven. And all your sins and failures, listen to me, are forgotten. Amen, Angela. I want you to turn to Psalm 103, and I tell you, this is an awesome psalm. I preach it, maybe I use it in some form or fashion, maybe two or three times a year. Psalm 103, it is a powerful piece of the psalms that I want to just say is for the New Testament and the new life right now, right here. I mean, I think that everything in Scripture in the Old Testament points to Jesus, right? I just believe that with all my heart. So Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And so he's talking to his soul. He's talking to himself, okay? So bless the Lord, oh myself, oh my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. I'm speaking to all that's within me. Do you understand what he's saying here? Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, self. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And soul, do not forget any of his benefits. So he's pardoned all your iniquities, healed all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Watch this. He satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is what? Renewed. There's our newness, like the eagle. And then notice what he says. He says in verse 8, the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He'll not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He's not dealt with you according to your sins, nor rewarded you according to your iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is loving kindness toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions for us. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows our frame. He knows our flesh. He is mindful because we're just dust. And then he says, Look at back at 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Do you believe that today about yourself? Because if you believe these things about yourself and you look at passages like that and say, that's me. That's me in Christ. That's me in Jesus. That's me he's talking about. That's you he's talking about. Because if I say that, I realize how valuable and how rich my new life is in Christ. And he's saying that the old is always passing away and the new has come and is coming right now and will always, always come to us. This will change, listen to me, if you'll embrace this today, this will change whatever you're going through right now, right here. It'll change. It'll change your heart. It'll change your spouse's heart. It'll change your children's heart. It'll change you as an employee. It'll change you as whatever role you're playing in the day. And I'm not saying playing the role, but you know what I'm talking about, living the role that you have. It'll change you, folks, because this is truth. And truth, embraced by faith, will always change you. Hear this? Truth embraced by faith will always change you. And it's something not only to receive, but it's something to celebrate. Because, you know, here it is. In Christ, all things are always new. You're a new creation. That's who you are. And then he says, new things have come and are coming, will continue to come. And what is that? A new relationship with God through Christ. That's what you have.
See, I'm new creation. That's who I am. But what I have is a new relationship with God through Jesus. I've got a growing, vibrant relationship with Jesus, where the Bible says that he's once separated from God by sin. Now I'm one with him. And he's my heavenly Father, and I'm son or a daughter of God. He's my Lord and my Savior. He's my friend, right? What a friend we have in Jesus. He's a king for a new kingdom, and I get to live in that kingdom. But listen to me, what's so great is the king is our daddy. The king is our daddy. And we get to play, at the throne room like king's sons and daughters do. I think one of the most vivid memories of an illustration like that is when John Kennedy is at his desk and his little boy is playing at the desk of the President of the United States of America. It's that familiar. Sacred, but that familiar. Do you have that kind of relationship with him where it's always new, it's always transforming, it is always better, it's never the same? Not saying always easier. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult. But just like you know what my life verse is, if you've been here any time, I'll quote it today. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Hey, where in relationship to your life, where is the Spirit of God? Where is it? It's in you. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. And we have all unveiled faces, are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We're being transformed into that same image from glory. Listen, I'll do it like I do it. From glory, there's some struggle. To glory, right? And I didn't start low enough because I'm short. Glory, right? To one day he appears, or we pass from this life like Tommy or like Jarrett, and we're there. We're just like him. And we have, John says, to fix that hope on him in 1 John 3. And when you do, you will find growth in purity, in Christian life, in every other place that gets you to the next place that God wants you to be. In Christ, it's always new. In Christ, or without Christ, it's never new. It's just not. The very part of the new nature of God is found in not only just with the new things, a new relationship with God, also we have a new purpose and life story. It's how we live. And I'm not going to spend too much time with it. We're going to be doing that here in the next couple of weeks. But just to let you know, you have a new purpose. That's what it says in chapter 5 in our text when he goes on. He says, listen, they're all things from God. Verse 18, he reconciled us to himself through Christ. Now, that's the new relationship. And then he gave us a ministry of reconciliation. This is the gospel ministry that God wants to give you, a ministry of reconciliation. Matter of fact, it's not what he wants to give you, it's what you get when you come to him. It's what you got. A ministry of reconciliation. Irreconcilable differences. That's what we hear in a court of law between a woman and a man that is divorcing. Irreconcilable differences. That, my friend, is a word from hell. It just is. If you're a believer in Christ, you're a new creation. Old's passed away. All things have become new, and they're becoming new and becoming. You have a new relationship with Christ. You have a new purpose, and that's a ministry of reconciliation. And I want to tell you, what a greater venue. Is there even a greater venue than in the home to practice it? With your spouse, with your husband, with your wife, with your kids. Right? Reconciliation is a powerful, powerful thing. Why? Because that's the heart of God. When he saw you in the pit, when he saw you in your sin, he wanted to reconcile you to himself. That is the blessing. But here it is. When you get reconciled automatically, because Jesus is in you, you have that ministry of reconciliation. Now, what does that look like? I don't know what it might look like in your life this week, but I like to say it to the, like this. You are now God's peace broker. You get the broker peace. Wherever you go, wherever you are, this is the power of God living in you to bring peace to people, to proclaim the gospel message that reconciles that son, that daughter, that kid, that man, that woman, that father, that mother, that grandparent, that grandson, that reconciles them to their great God like you're reconciled. Peace brokers. Peace breakers, brokers. A Christ representative. Notice what he says. He says, verse 19, God was in Christ reconciling the world himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Can I say this real quick? Look at this. This is the key to great relationships. We're not going to count your trespass against me. That's my verse. I'm not going to do that because why? I have a ministry of reconciliation. Do you know how transformative this could be in your family? How transformative it can be in your community? How transformative it can be in our church? How transformative it can be because we're ministers of reconciliation. And what Christ did when he was reconciling the world himself, he didn't count my trespasses against me. That's the gift of salvation. That's the gift of grace. And how dare us live in a life where we're going to count your trespasses against me? How dare us do that? How dare us trample on the blood of Jesus? Because that's what his blood did for you. While you were a sinner, while you were an enemy. And I want to tell you, when this happens, when I decide that I'm going to live this way, gone is the critical spirit. Gone is the judgmental attitude. Gone is all those things. How dare us trample reconciliation by counting their trespasses against them. And you know what? We all do it. We do it with people we don't even know. That we don't even know. This is the key to freedom. This is the part of newness of life. This is what God did. This is what we do. Because he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Listen, not only do I have the ministry of reconciliation, I have the word of reconciliation. And oh my, what could God do when we start to live that? And I realize there's sometimes in life that we're trying to move through reconciliation, but that other person isn't. And I understand that. Listen, this is not anything about feeling guilty about anything. But I want to tell you this right now. You have this. And you have the word of reconciliation. The power right now, right here, to do that. And how is this made? I want to close with this. This is really important. We sang of this morning. I want you to go to Lamentations. Lamentations. And I want you to open your Bible to it. And I want you to look at it and not just be dependent on the screen. Because when you read your Bible and you look at things, you remember where they are on the page. You can't do that with your phone. Of course, you got your phone and you can look up the word. I understand that. There's just something about looking at the written word. Remember my affliction, verse 19. My wandering, the wormwood, the bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. You may be going through a time of bitterness right now, affliction. Maybe you're wandering from the fold of God. Maybe there's just wormwood and bitterness in your life right now. What I love about God is he comes to take that away. That's why we're new, folks. But Jeremiah, anointed of God, Do you know Jeremiah, anointed of God, prophet of God, when you look at it from an earthly perspective, had no success in his ministry. Not one. He was called the weeping prophet. The weeping prophet. And from the perspective of man and the perspective of the prophets, nobody repented under his prophecy and his prophetic work. But yet he moved on, and he moved on, and he moved on. And then he says this is him preaching in Lamentations, and Lamentations is a lament. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. Matter of fact, it's a word that is so powerful. The Lord's loving kindness, his mercy, his grace, and his favor, they never cease. Behold, his mercies, his compassions never fail. They are, watch this, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. New every morning. And we have a whole message of this that I preached last year. So I just close with this and leave it with you. Every day, you're a new creation with the mercies of God. Listen, the same mercies that saved you, that delivered you from the stronghold, that forgave you. It's the same mercies. And I receive them every day. Now watch this. And I give them away every day. I receive it every day and I give it every day. This is the power of God. This is the power of a new year, a new you. It's the power of a new day when today is over, or the month is over, or when 2021 is over. It's the power of a new day. You are new in Christ. The old's passed away. The new has come. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. Got a new relationship with Christ. Celebrate it. I got a new purpose with God. And guess what? Every morning, it's new. In the name of Jesus, amen. That's all I got. Unless you want to stay another 15 minutes and I can think of something else. Let's stand. I want to pray for you and then I'm going to bless. We'll bless. Lord, I just want to thank you for the great promises of Scripture. It's new every morning. That God, that we're in Christ. The old's passed away. The new's come. I pray that we'd see that, Lord. As 2020 is now just in the rear view mirror of our lives. And there's some of us in here that have gotten really mad during 2020. There's some of us watching in here that are bitter about certain things because of 2020. And Lord, I want to pray that hope would replace the anger and the bitterness. Some of us have moved through the anger. Some of us have moved through the bitterness. Some of us have walked in forgiveness. Some of us have settled, God, what we needed to settle in our own spirit. Because we know, like we heard last week, 2020 squeezed a bunch out of us. And some of it that came out did not look good. But I want to thank you that today's a new day. January 3rd is a new day. January 1st, 2021 is done. It's gone. It's over. But 2020 is today. And then, Father, with that kind of commitment and that kind of walk, perhaps now we can make not new resolutions, but new resolves in Christ and new prayer requests for the glory of God. I want to pray that today. Lord, I want to pray in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit come and take out the leaven that's in our lives and put Jesus in us more and more and more. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd come and give us this kind of conviction today, this kind of life today. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do because of it. And I want to pray, Lord, I want to pray. When things seem bitter and they seem old and they seem stale, that you will remember this word in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Lamentations chapter 3. That God, it's new every day. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. Lord, lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace right now, right here. And may you walk through life with this peace, with this reconciliation work of God in your life so that you can receive reconciliation and give it away all day long. In Jesus' name, amen.